time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
Tom Brady is my Lord and Savior.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Again, quick tempo. And picked off at the one-yard line. That is Watson out in front. Sneed to protect him as well. All the way for the touchdown. Unreal.
Jalen Watson with the 99-yard interception return for touchdown last night as the Chiefs beat the Chargers 27-24. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant. As always, Sean Mapes behind the glass. It was a good game. It was a fun game.
It was a good game, and it's funny how sometimes the things that we have believed for a very long time continue to be true, in that I always believe in the Kansas City Chiefs. I always believe that the Los Angeles or San Diego Chargers are cursed. And last night, KC lucked their way to what was a very fun-to-watch victory but heartbreaking loss for the Chargers. My God.
You did say this in the group text, that they're cursed.
They are cursed. And I don't know, maybe this has to do with them relocating from San Diego, but this has been just consistent with the Chargers for, I want to say, two decades, where they should have won the game. Patrick Mahomes, I think, almost threw four interceptions in this game. You had one that got overturned, the one that was to Samuel. I think Samuel had two technically dropped interceptions in this game. He was not looking himself. But you look at the stat line after the game, and you think to yourself, yeah, pretty good night for Patrick Mahomes. Justin Herbert, meanwhile, I mean, I feel bad for the guy. He gets a rib injury in the game. He still plays through it. But, man, they had opportunities, and this is just classic Chargers football. This
and
is a good team, but
the
they lose.
And I was yelling at the TV for them to pull Justin Herbert because he looked so hurt and then scored a touchdown. Here's Justin Herbert on that injury and how he was feeling.
And Herbert needs some help in getting up. Look out. Holding his rib cage, and uh-oh.
Mike Dana hit him as he released the ball, put his shoulder pads right into his chest. He always does working the progressions, but here you see that wrapped up right as he releases it, and he comes down.
So every Charger fan holds their breath. The backup quarterback is the well-traveled and 13-year veteran Chase Daniel.
What a surprise at the end, by the way. I mean, I felt bad for Herbert, but when I heard that Chase Daniel was the backup, I was like, of course he's the backup. That guy has survived in the NFL for a long time. Credit to him for doing that. It was a very weird sequence because Herbert comes back in, then he throws a pass, and he looks hurt, just as hurt as he had been the play before as he gets hit. Then there's another play a little bit later where he's scrambling to the right side of the field, and he easily had room to run for the first down, and he throws it, and it was one of the worst throws I can remember seeing by a quarterback. And I thought to myself, man, Herbert, you got to check yourself out of the game. But then not too long later, he delivers this beautiful
Perfect.
Strike on a post route, like for 40 yards downfield, and then he throws another nice touchdown pass. Look, I've had doubts about Justin Herbert, and a lot of them has had to do with the fact that there's so many people out there that are like, oh man, Herbert's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I have all the respect in the world for him after him sucking it up and playing
and
through last night. He stayed in. And, you know, you got to wonder what would have happened if Brandon Staley had noticed that Gerald Everett was gassed on that play that ended up being the 99-yard pick six by the Chiefs, Jalen Watson, who has an awesome story. I think he was working at Wendy's
That's
not too
Peter
long
Schrager
ago.
That's what Peter Schrager said this morning on Good Morning Football. He was working at Wendy's, not like as a gag or as a funny thing. Like, he had to give up. He committed to USC and didn't have the grades, so he had to work at a Wendy's until he
right.
could go to, was it Washington State?
Wazoo, yeah. He's a member of the beloved Cougs, not to be confused with the Cougs House Cougs. Anyway, you feel, again, for the Chargers and just their bad luck, though I think you could also point at Brandon Staley as being part of that bad luck. There is a sequence leading up to that pick six where Gerald Everett had two awesome receptions and runs after the catch, but you could tell how someone would be gassed after two really difficult plays. Gerald Everett tries to check himself out of the game. They go no huddle, and Everett runs up to the line, and they have him on this route where he runs out, and he's clearly not 100%, and Herbert looked at him right away. The defensive back
is able to sneak up in front of Gerald Everett because he's gassed. You could see it. Like, he had no legs on that play. He gets the pick six easily. And again, it's just, this is just Chargers football in a nutshell. And it's funny to watch, especially knowing that the Chargers don't have that many fans, especially now that they've left San Diego for LA. But man, I felt bad for Justin Herbert last night. I mean, I don't think it was his fault that game ended the way that it did, and he gutted it out. And I am finally on the Justin Herbert bandwagon. Yeah, he's got the dog in him.
My favorite part of this game is the fact that it featured Travis Kelce, Derwin James, two young quarterbacks, yet we're talking about Jalen Watson. I love that. I mean, things like that are, I think, what make the NFL fun, especially on those primetime games. Sean, you have talked up Justin Herbert as well. He's one of my favorites. What did you see from last night that you liked from Herbert?
I mean, he was just an absolute baller that last drive. I mean, you mentioned Chase Daniel coming in for that one handoff. I'm surprised he didn't just hand off and just run directly on the sideline into the tunnel. Like, having Chase Daniel as your backup, you basically don't have a backup quarterback.
Right.
Because that dude will never play for you. So him to come back out there, again, like Paul, I had the same exact reaction of like, oh my God, why is this guy in the game?
Right.
Like, they were showing him on the sideline. It was after the touchdown. They're showing a side-by-side of him and Mahomes both on the sideline. And Herbert was just wincing, just standing there. He was just in pain, standing, waiting for the onside kick, where I think if you give Justin Herbert truth serum in that moment, and you ask him, do you want to convert the onside kick, he'll say no. Just get this game over with. I do not want to keep playing this. Because like you said, the first play they came back, he just missed high because he just didn't want to get hit again. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just tell his game plan was, I do not want to get hit. My organs are on fire.
I can't believe that he played through it. He looked to be in such pain. And the quarterbacks who play through it, these are the guys that you want to play for. But to go back to just some moments where like the Chargers look like this awesome team. I mean, did you see Derwin James suplex Travis Kelce? He killed him. The ball comes out. The Chargers recover it there. And you think to yourself, oh, ow. Up, the play got whistled dead. And this is just Chargers football. Like, I can't explain it.
One of the headlines is Chiefs Travis Kelce gets body slammed by Chargers Derwin James on Thursday Night Football, draws WWE jokes.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked that. There's a part of me that thought to myself, yeah, at least you never see Rob Gronkowski getting hit like that, because there's a lot of Travis Kelce folks out, Travis Kelce stands out there that think he's better than Gronk. But then Will Blackman, who used to play corner in the NFL, was actually like, hey, remember when Earl Thomas basically broke Rob Gronkowski's rib cage? And I was like, oh yeah, damn it. Well, I can't really keep
somebody
on going with that.
Somebody just tweeted us, shout out to Travis Tuohy, who tweeted us a fun fact about Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel's net worth, despite starting just 5 games and throwing just 261 passes in his career, he's reportedly earned $36
million. Yeah, he's the
there
new.
You go.
Good for him.
Best job in the world, backup quarterback.
He's been in the league for like 20 years. Never played.
Who's your favorite backup quarterback ever? Because Case Keenum has probably risen to the top of the rankings with how he's survived. Ryan Fitzpatrick's never been officially a backup quarterback with all the teams he's played on, because he always finds his way into the actual action. You definitely could make a case for old Clipboard Charlie. Charlie Whitehurst?
I was thinking Clipboard Jesus. Yeah. Charlie
Whitehurst looks like someone who, you know, has a log cabin in the woods of Tennessee, and you'll walk up to this log cabin, and there he is with one boot over the railing playing a guitar with a straw in his mouth. That's the kind of quarterback that he looks like, and that guy found a way to stay in the league for a while. Daniel, at the very least, has played like a good amount to at least you remember him. Whitehurst, I don't remember playing much at all.
I loved me some Jim Sorgi.
That's a good one.
What a great job to have, to be Jim Sorgi and have that backup job for that long.
And he did color commentary for a while after, you know, for the Colts Radio Network for a while. He has like some business in Indianapolis. Made great money. Realized who he was sitting behind. It was like, sometimes you have backups that are a little too, like Andy Dalton needs to settle into the fact that he's a backup now. But then you have guys that just, yeah, they accept it.
Being Peyton Manning's backup actually is the sweetest gig in the NFL, because you don't even practice. Because Peyton Manning takes every practice rep. You just,
it's a great point.
You just sit there. Like, you're just a co-quarterback's coach. And you can't teach the quarterback anything, because he's Peyton Manning. You're Jim Sorgi.
Right.
Also, shout out
to, no pressure. Literally none.
Shout out to TJ Yates.
Oh, that's a good one.
Not the longevity, but man, He was like, his star shined bright.
Well, specifically as a Texans backup, because he came in, of course, in 2011, and he helps them get the first playoff berth with the game against the Bengals. And he did have some struggles, that's for sure. I mean, he could have thrown like 8 interceptions in that playoff loss to the Ravens, honestly. But then he came back a couple of years later to sub in, and I feel like he helped execute Darrell Revis on television. You know, it was DeAndre Hopkins and Darrell Revis, and Hopkins like stole Revis' soul. It's one of the more depressing, I think, moments in Jets history because he was back with the Jets.
Shout out to Jake Asman.
So, you know, poor little Jake Asman.
I did like last night when you have these matchups with these young quarterbacks, and I know Mahomes is now 26. I think Herbert is he 25 or 26?
He's a youngin. I would guess he's 25.
You have these under 27 year old quarterbacks. It does 24. Make me feel good to have these competitive games because I will admit I was, of course, one of the people that was like, all right, well, when Brady and Manning and Breeze retire, you know, what's it gonna be?
We had a long run where like no one was really stepping up. I mean, it was like there's Rivers and Roethlisberger and Eli in the next class, and you know, to keep going back to Herbert. I mean, remember coming out of college, like everyone's saying to themselves, oh, he's aloof. Oh, he's not really a dominant personality. Who gives a damn? Like, he could be mute and never talk again after what you saw from him last night. That was one of the more gutsy performances I've seen. I'm curious as to how long he'll be out. May or may not have some fantasy football interests on that side of things. But, I mean, damn, if you don't respect, like, the thing that you should take away from that game, one, Kansas City got really lucky. That happens in the NFL. That was not a good game by Mahomes. And two, Justin Herbert is one of the toughest SOBs in the NFL.
Yeah, Joe Burrow, another young, great quarterback. It's nice to be in an era where that's happening. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, what would make you feel better about Davis Mills and the Texans coming up on Sunday? Plus, could this particular quarterback get any lamer? We'll discuss next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Justin Britt will not play this week. You know, as I've told you, he's been out for personal reasons. We'll be able to give you more information a little bit later on today, but he will not play this week.
Can you say anything beyond that, Lovey?
Right now, that's all I can say
is
that.
Is Scott the guy?
All right, so Justin Britt will not play Sunday. He's missed the last 3 days of practice, and it has been listed as personal reasons. That was Lovie Smith about 20 or so minutes ago. So Scott Questenberry, of course, will line up under or will be center for the Texans. This comes after Justin Britt had a subpar performance.
Yeah, he was bad.
Against the Colts.
Add a couple things up here. First off, he played poorly on Sunday. Second, in that game on Sunday, he did go to the medical tent for a little bit of time. Third, you hear him evaluate his performance this week. And he was very critical of himself.
And sounded really down and out.
Add it all up, would you be surprised if he retires?
No.
Especially if you're out for personal reasons for a couple of days. Sometimes you realize you just don't have it anymore. And it comes at you really quick in this league. We were just talking about it in the last segment with Darrell Revis. When Darrell Revis lost his fastball as a top shutdown corner, I mean, it happened very quickly. It happened almost overnight. Such a violent and brutal game, and most guys only last 3 years. Britt did play most of his career in Seattle. He suffered a couple of pretty big-time injuries while he was in Seattle as well. I remember it. I think it was my first year there where he got injured and this guy named Joey Hunt had to supplant him. So we're just taking a look at it right now. He being out for Sunday's game against Denver, Vanessa, that does not make me feel very good about the Texans' ability to potentially go in there and have yet another surprising beginning to a game, much like on Sunday against Indianapolis, where, you know, they were out to a 20-3 lead at one point.
Yeah, the offensive line was not gelling. There was miscommunication. There were bad snaps. It was definitely one of the downfalls of the game for sure. This doesn't make you feel better. Yeah, he's 31 years old, which in the NFL is old. Don't get mad because I'm not saying you're old. I'm saying in the NFL, 31 is old. So I think he definitely could be inching towards retirement. I don't even think Lovie really tried to hide it. He couldn't say much, but he said, quote, you know, we'll have the update later. So seems like that's a possibility. Let's talk about that game Sunday against the Broncos. What would make you guys feel good about Davis Mills? Not saying they have to get the win, but what would make you say, okay, maybe he's trending in the right direction?
Well, I mean, number one, obviously play well, but I think more importantly, don't get rattled when you get hit. I'm concerned about what I saw from him after that blindside sack he took. You got to get right back up and you got to be confident in yourself. And it felt like he was skittish as the game went on. And I'll specifically point to this one play where there wasn't really any pressure on him. He had more time than I think he expected. He got happy feet. He starts tap dancing around out there. And he threw an awful pass afterwards. He got rattled. You're going to play against the Denver team without Justin Britt,
yeah,
who is the offensive lineman who is supposed to direct all the communication that you generally get at the line of scrimmage. This is a new offensive line that's still gelling. It's going to take them some time, I think, to be the best version of themselves, seeing as they're adding a rookie in Kenyon Green into the mix. And, you know, you have some guys back, Laremy Tunsil, who wasn't there last year. Titus Howard is moving back to his natural position. Like, it's going to take them time. And now all of a sudden you're putting Scott Questenberry into that center role.
Yeah, say that 10 times fast.
Yeah. Man, you got loud crowd noise, and you got Bradley Chubb that's potentially going to get you a couple of times. He had two sacks this past week. Mills has to just be ballsy. He can't get rattled. And I just don't think that this is a great environment to avoid that. I think there's a real chance. But if he's able to take a couple of hits, a couple of sacks, and he gets through it, okay, maybe I'll start to feel a little more confident about Davis Mills. But based off of what I saw last week, if that's happening at home, that's probably going to be even worse on the road.
I want to see him and Damian Pierce connect as well. Lovey said we should see more of Pierce this week in Denver. Sean, what would make you feel better about Davis Money Mills?
Being able just to attack downfield, I would say. That's really the thing where that's what takes you from being like, oh, he's a decent guy, he can make some reads, check down when he needs to where like defenses actually have to like fear you a little bit if you can take the top off. And he has some, I mean, their weapons aren't awesome, but Brandon Cooks played well enough against the Colts. Nico Collins did not. It just seemed like they just weren't on the same page, or he wasn't getting open. Just getting more threats downfield instead of just, oh, O.J. Howard, two touchdowns, you know,
right,
and checking down a lot to, you know, the tight ends and running backs. I just need to see more dynamic play from him.
That makes sense. You covered Russ for a couple years. So what's this Russell Wilson offense? What challenges could it bring for the Texans defense?
Well, I think the big thing with Russ is that he likes to throw it deep. And do you feel that Derek Stingley Jr., Steven Nelson are going to be up for the challenge when they are matched up against very good wide receivers? I thought Russ looked a little rusty in week one. That could be a sign of what will happen for Denver all year long. But one of the things that Russell Wilson is best at, he might have the best deep ball accuracy in the entirety of the NFL. Did not look that way on Monday. I thought that touchdown pass he had to Jerry Jeudy was underthrown, but this is a real test for those defensive backs. I thought Steven Nelson passed the test. I don't think Stingley was really challenged all that much. And, you know, when Cody Stutes and I, who does the Wheelhouse right here on ESPN 97.5,
3-7,
he was sitting next to me and was commenting on how the Texans' defensive backs were really playing off the line of scrimmage and were giving a lot of cushion. And I think for a lot of defenses, that's the natural way to go about things in 2022, prevent the big plays and force a quarterback like Russell Wilson to work with things in front of him. I think that you're going to see more of that. And the real trick for this game is going to be whether or not Russell Wilson, who historically has not done this, decides, hey, I'm going to look over the middle of the field. I'm going to try to attack the Texans linebackers who aren't very good in coverage. For example, Kamir Grugier-Hill. Ugh, rough day in coverage, right? Do you feel good about really any of those Texans linebackers in coverage?
And that's someone who I had high hopes for. And if he plays like that again, I that's missed by me because I was really confident in him going into the season.
But Vanessa, it's hard for any linebackers in coverage too. You know, I'm not going to throw him completely under the bus. Like, there's a lot of guys who can't cover that play linebacker in this league. And Denver will have things open over the middle of the field. Russ has to take them. And historically, Russ will ignore what's right in front of him. And might be because he's short. He's 5'11". He will avoid things that are right in front of him, and he will go to the sidelines, and he will try to chuck the football down the field. You can take a look at his passing charts over the last couple of years. Like, that's what he does.
And if you keep things in front of you, I mean, I feel like you can handle at the very least the passing game. The running game, I don't know. Like, Denver ran the ball. They just fumbled. And I feel less confident about the offense, but I actually do feel okay about the defense going into this game, just based off of Russell Wilson and the way that he's played historically.
Let's talk about Russell Wilson and his response to the game of which they lost. This is Russ to his team and what he said to his team.
I was telling him, I said, listen, the thing about great teams is they always respond. If you want to be a championship team, you got to respond. So how are we going to respond today? And then we got it down the day tomorrow, hopefully. God wakes us up. We got another day to do it again and another day to do it again. It's all about response. It's all about attitude. It's all about mentality, language, staying focused on the task.
You know,
it is insufferable.
Well, you know what? I'm trying to be more positive going forward.
Yeah, positive fall.
I put out a poll yesterday, and I was asking, like, hey, am I too negative? And most people said yes or yes, but that's why we like you. So,
is that why you're being that? Is that why you're feeling bad?
No, I'm not feeling bad. Okay. I'm trying to, you know, be a little more fair with things. And I'll agree with Russell Wilson. I would love to have God wake me up every single day because I snooze too much. I press the snooze button a lot.
A little dark there in the middle, Russ, but overall good message.
Overall, yeah. I mean, we'll see. Also, Dov Kleiman?
I don't know. He blocked me.
Why did he block you?
Because I've basically just been calling him out with he thinks Belichick's a terrible coach.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, that's weird.
He had this whole thing like 2 years ago, and I was like, dude, like give it a rest. Like, yeah. We get it. Belichick without Brady, he's not as good as he was before. But like, stop acting like Belichick, the guy who was one of the architects of the Giants defense in the 80s.
Dov Kleiman, I don't know. Russell Wilson tweeted out this video of Russell Wilson on the Broncos sideline. Demanding that his guys yell run or pass to help the defense against the Seahawks.
Hey, sideline, run or pass. Hey, you got to let them know. Come on, commit to it. You got to let them know. Run or pass. Let's go. Got to let them know. Run or pass. Run or pass. Let them know. 9-6. Let them know. Run or pass. Let them know. Run or pass. Nice and loud. Pass.
Again, I'm going to try to be fair here. You know, we're turning over a new leaf.
Commit to it.
Well, I'll let Vanessa laugh just
somebody,
to know that's what's going on in my head. What Vanessa's laughing at.
Come to the gym and commit and yell at me. Commit to it.
I gotta say, at this moment, it's very unlikely that defenders are going to hear you yell "run" or "pass" from the sideline. Very unlikely at Lumen Field, which is one of the louder stadiums in the NFL. But respect to Russ. For being as unlimited as possible.
I don't like positive fall.
That is a teammate.
Nope.
I'm not being sarcastic either. I'm not.
Do you like positive fall, Sean?
What? Not, I have to be fair.
Not with Russ.
Yeah.
I think you get out of positive Paul jail free card.
No,
with
sometimes
Russ.
Sometimes you got a zag.
Go back to being the girl I used to know. Yeah.
Sometimes you got a zag. What? I'm trying new things.
Now you're just somebody that I used to know.
What would the old Paul say about
the old Paul would say, Jesus Christ, shut up, Russ.
There you go.
Well,
that's
hopefully
what we like
Jesus Christ wakes up Russ.
And with that, we go to break. Coming up, our 10-minute drill as we go around the NFL next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stack! Hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Vanessa and Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
Week 2. We saw the first game of Week 2 last night with some Thursday night football on Amazon. There are plenty of games to watch for Week 2. Not as sexy as Week 1, but we got Bucks at Saints. Your Lord and Savior, Tom Brady.
This game, you would think, would be about Tom Brady just because of the fact that the Saints have beaten.
But everything was about Tom Brady.
The Bucks
in your
world. The last 4 games. Well, I mean, it is. You know, I do have a candle to him in my apartment.
Yeah.
I have multiple shrines to him.
You do his diet.
I haven't done his diet.
You haven't?
No.
Okay, you need to do that.
I like tomatoes too much. That's outrageous. Tomatoes. That's cutting out tomatoes. Come on, dude. Like, no, I'm not doing that. I love tomatoes. This game's about the Bucks defense. The Bucks defense looked, I thought, great against the Cowboys before Dak got hurt, and especially after Dak got hurt. Is that a true reflection of who they are? How will they look against the Saints on the road against, you know, the very up and down Jameis Winston, who we saw have a connection with Michael Thomas towards the end of the game that they just played this past week against the Falcons? And on top of that, with Jarvis Landry looking the way that he did, it's really, I think, this game a matter of what Jameis are you going to get. I tend to believe that volatile Jameis Winston shows up more often than the good Jameis Winston. I might be wrong on that front. So I wonder how the Bucs defense plays. I think they'll be pretty suffocating for Jameis, and I think that this regular season streak that New Orleans has against the Bucs is going to stop. But Dolphins, it's not going to be because of my Lord and Savior.
Yeah, Dolphins at Ravens. This will be a fascinating one because, as I said earlier in the week, I think these are two quarterbacks that have pressure on them for different reasons. I'm interested to see if we can see Tua week two look like Tua week one.
One of the weirder games of last year was when the Dolphins kicked the Ravens' ass. I mean, they beat him 22-10. And it was a game where Lamar Jackson was talking about it this week, where essentially all throughout the game, the Dolphins were playing cover zero and the Ravens really didn't have any answer for it. And they were getting blitzed and Baltimore couldn't handle it. This time around, you got a new head coach in Mike McDaniel who definitely showed some gumption and balls against the Patriots, but you got a pretty mediocre performance out of Tua in that game. I'm wondering if that same defense for Miami can work again. Odds are, probably they won't. You would think Lamar Jackson would adapt to it. How do you feel about Tua right now?
So I was not a Tua believer. You know, I was very honest about that. Sean was our Tuanon, head of Tuanon. I thought he looked good week one. I mean, I've said, like, they have a new offensive coordinator with Frank Smith. They have a new head coach with Mike McDaniel. So we really didn't know what to expect. He has the new weapon. It was the Patriots, right?
It was the Patriots, but Vanessa, I think this Patriots team, that was as bad of a first impression as you could get, and given the way that this offseason has gone.
It's like, yeah, it was the Patriots. So more will be revealed.
Thank you. Okay. I wasn't sure if you were like saying, like, ooh, the Patriots?
No, the Patriots. It was the Patriots.
I mean, they could have won that game 40-0, like 40-7. I thought Tua left a lot out there.
Yeah, Vince Wilfork and Ty Law aren't walking through that door.
Don't remind me. It's fine. I get it. I get it.
Asante Samuel Sr. isn't walking through that.
Well, good, because he lost the Super Bowl 42. So, Cardinals just like his Raiders. Son lost the Chiefs the game last night.
Cardinals at Raiders as well.
Blood feud.
Yeah. And then Vikings at Eagles.
Okay, so the Raiders game is going to be interesting because, like, the Cardinals seem like they're about to completely fall apart. And really, right now, you're wondering, J.J. Watt, if he returns, is he going to save the day? Because Cliff Kingsbury's criticizing practice. You already have, you know, Kyler Murray's bad behaviors this offseason being enabled by the extension. The Kingsbury extension makes no sense. The
there
Steve Keim extension
teams
makes no sense.
I believe in less than the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And it's everything about them. I don't believe in Cliff Kingsbury as a coach. I don't believe in Kyler as a quarterback. I don't believe the team is even gelling because nobody stood up for Kyler. So there's really no part of them that is appealing to me.
I don't even believe in their grass at their stadium.
There you go.
But they're on the road against the Vegas Raiders this week.
What is going on?
I'll tell you what's going on. American farmers are upset with the grass. I don't know what farmers have to do with grass.
Yeah, it's fine. Vikings and Eagles as well.
That game's going to be intriguing because who the hell's real and who's fake? I mean, the Vikings had maybe one of the more impressive performances of week one with how they just dismantled an Aaron Rodgers-led team. And yeah, you know, Kirk Cousins actually does have a winning record, I think, against Aaron Rodgers over the course of his career, which was a surprising stat to find out this week. But do you believe the Eagles who, I mean, on scoreboard-wise, at the very least, looks like that game with the Lions that they just had was a little bit closer. Do you believe in a Jalen Hurts-led team when Jalen Hurts is running 13 times for 90 yards over the course of that game? I think that this is really like the, hey, which of these teams is a fraud bowl? And, yeah, you're making overreactions after week two, but Philly, I think, has a very good chance to have a great record while not being a great team. Minnesota, I really don't know what to make of. And what we saw from them last week was really something else with Kevin O'Connell and Kirk Cousins unlocking Justin Jefferson the way that they did. I think the Vikings are going to win this one. I'm feeling Minnesota right now.
All right. Micah Parsons talked about Joe Burrow on, I believe this was...
Because the Cowboys are playing the Bengals.
Yeah, the Cowboys are playing the Bengals. Here's Micah Parsons on Joe Burrow.
One thing about really good quarterbacks, they don't make the same mistakes twice, so I'm not expecting the same Joe Burrow as last week. I don't think anybody should be expecting the same player. You're always trying to improve, so I'm not banking on Joe Burrow to make the same mistakes. You know, good players always learn from their mistakes, and you tend not to make the same mistakes twice.
Yeah, I mean, fair statement.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they played like ass last week, the Bengals, and they almost won that game at the very end. If not for the missed extra point, they win that game against Pittsburgh. And I mean, Dallas right now, I mean, you're on the ropes. Did you see the other controversy with Micah Parsons?
Yeah, he missed his appearance.
Undisputed.
Yeah.
Look, if you're missing your week one appearance.
He says it was miscommunication.
I don't know about that, man. He said, my starting quarterback went down and we lost. I just didn't think it was appropriate for me to be on the show at that point. I need to step up and be a leader. It shouldn't be on TV. It should be in this locker room. That's where my focus should be right now. He says he has people that are supposed to let the Undisputed know about that. But, sorry, if you're going to do weekly appearances, you got to show up when the team loses.
Right.
You can't just show up when the team wins.
It's why it's better for you to be a former athlete and be years removed. Because I've heard Troy Aikman and former players talk about how it's hard right after you play.
Yeah.
Because you have friends that are in the NFL. I can't imagine actually still playing and doing it. All right, the Killer Bees had former Texans head coach Gary Kubiak on their show. And Jeremy straight up asked him, the Peyton Manning to Houston rumors, were they real?
He was supposed to play a little bit of everywhere when he was, when he left Indianapolis. I know the name came up in a lot of different places.
Wasn't a denial.
Wow. Well, I mean, not surprising. I go back in time, and I remember thinking to myself that the Texans shouldn't sign Peyton Manning, partly because I didn't want to cover him, hand to God. But the other part was...
God, you were here then?
Yeah, that was my first year on the job.
Wow.
Yeah. I was 22 years old, doing weekend radio at the flagship station. I remember saying multiple times, nope. Nearly headless Peyton Manning, sort of like nearly headless Nick in the Harry Potter franchise. I don't think I want him. But at the same time, I mean, if Matt Schaub was the guy that you wanted to go with going forward instead of Peyton Manning, you got to seriously wonder about that person's talent evaluation and why they would have issue with bringing Peyton Manning in other than perhaps wanting, sort of like John Gruden with Tom Brady, what we heard this offseason, wanting their control to stay.
Some people like to like grow their own or have their own mark
Leave
on someone
over mark.
Someone being the best.
Yep.
T.Y. Hilton, by the way, has not officially said whether or not he'll
play
for the Colts.
Retire.
Retire.
Do you ever play again, please?
But it appears that the Colts made the decision for him.
Good.
Mike Chappell tweeted out a picture of a banner that the Colts hung at Lucas Oil Stadium that says, thank you for the memories, T.Y. Hilton. So he did not make the announcement, but it appears the Colts have made the decision for him. Because he was on Twitter, by the way, in the offseason when fans would tweet him, maybe I will, maybe I won't. So we didn't know. Now, appears they made the choice for him.
They did.
Texans killer.
Good. Like, I don't want to see that guy ever again. I love watching him play, don't get me wrong, but T.Y. Hilton's numbers against the Texans over the course of his career, I want to say it was like 18 games. We're talking like 1,600 receiving yards and enough touchdowns to make you hate your life.
I love my indie media people, but... You know, it was the house that T.Y. built, an NRG Stadium. It just got so much.
Honestly, though, I think they were very merited in saying it, Vanessa.
I've seen the numbers.
Jonathan Joseph got all pissy at him one week and called him a clown, and then T.Y. Hilton came in the next game dressed up like It.
He had a clown.
Yeah. Pennywise from It.
Shout out to J.Jo.
Shout out to J.Jo.
Love J.Jo.
And honestly, a tip of the hat to T.Y. Hilton, Houston sports terrorist. Not wrong.
I mean, that
guy was a killer.
But it appears he will not be with the Colts anymore. The Colts looking to avenge, by the way, last year's awful ending in Jaguars country as they go to Duval this weekend.
Yeah. I wonder about that game, by the way, too. Yeah,
well, they can never win there.
And Indy did not look particularly compelling this past week.
No.
Jacksonville also didn't look that much different from the Urban Meyer era.
I don't know. Trevor Lawrence looked great against the Colts last year. Not saying he looked great in his other games, but he was great in that game, so we'll see.
Who's better, Colts or Commanders?
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Trying to rub it in.
The Astros are cruising along. Our thoughts on their win as well as Lance McCullers Jr. And what the heck is up with Jordan's hand? That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
In the air to left field, way back there, and this will give the Astros the lead. Alemis Diaz, a two-run blast.
The Astros win last night, 5-2 over Oakland. Lance McCullers Jr. was on the mound. We will get to him in a minute. Let's start with Jordan Handgate. If you're not familiar with what we're talking about, The long and the short of it is that he's been out a couple years with some quote-unquote hand discomfort. 2 days ago, Dusty said that Jordan was out of the lineup due to hand discomfort. Jordan then pulled reporters aside and through an interpreter said, "My hand is fine. I feel fine." What's the latest, Paul?
I don't know. And honestly, I feel like it's a bit of a fail by the people that cover this team on a daily basis that we didn't get any more clarity. I looked, unless there's some reporter I'm unaware of. I saw Brian McTaggart. I don't think he was on the beat yesterday. I think Chandler Rome wasn't on the beat yesterday either. Who are some of the other folks that we traditionally trust? Mark Berman's
Daniel
not going to ask questions
sure.
about that. We didn't get any further clarity. Here's all that matters, I guess. Jordan hit a double.
Yeah.
Jordan's 2 for 4. So I guess everything's fine and we're just going to move on from this like it never happened. But it is a weird bit of miscommunication that we got no further clarity on yesterday. And I got to say, I mean, considering this is one of the best teams in baseball, you would think you would get a little more clarity on some drama going on. But whatever. Not my job.
If something happens this offseason and Dusty does not return and it is not Dusty's choice, whether that's he quote-unquote retires, because he said he wants to be back next year, or they just straight up don't renew him, whatever. This, I think, will get more attention.
Maybe.
In hindsight. Just as a small thing, in addition to managerial choices that people question, this is a weird thing to not know, A, which hand it is, and then to say that the hand is hurting, and then to have a player feel so passionate that he wants the media and fans to know, I'm fine. It was a rest. It was a normal day off. It's a weird situation.
It's weird. It's noteworthy. There should have been questions asked about it. I don't know if this is going to impact, what happens to Dusty Baker at the end of the year.
At all. I'm just saying if he gets let go, I think this becomes a...
We'll talk about it a little
bit.
Right. I think for the most part, though, Vanessa, what we're going to be talking about is all the managerial decisions over the course of the year. And there probably will be a couple of playoff decisions that we're like, whoa, how did he make that decision? Which is kind of funny that we go about it that way. I will say, in Dusty Baker's defense, considering Jose Altuve had the off day yesterday, I love that lineup. I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, and credit to Aledmys Diaz, who had the home run that you just heard coming into the segment. But you found a way to put Yuli, who has been hitting better, Trey Mancini, and Christian Vasquez in the lineup. And even more importantly, on a night where Lance McCullers was on his A game, it wasn't Martin Maldonado catching Lance McCullers.
You're very happy about this. You have stanned Christian Vasquez, as the kids say, since he came here.
Because he's a better hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone loves Machete. He has the Mugatu haircut. I get it. This is not me telling you to not like the guy.
Well, and he and Verlander have something special. So for your, like, my mindset is, okay, then he's Verlander's catcher every time Verlander's on the mound, but let's see what Vasquez can do.
I will allow for that. At the same time, Vanessa, I think that
Paul.
The idea that one catcher is so much better with a pitcher in the major leagues is ridiculous. And I've heard pitchers talk about this before. Vasquez was great with McCullers out there. Vasquez can be great with other pitchers, theoretically, too. Vasquez should be getting the majority of the games behind home plate. And look at that 2-out double that he had, along with Trey Mancini back-to-back. This makes your lineup better.
Lance McCullers Jr. Allowed some traffic on the bases, but overall a great game. 6 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts. This is good to see. And I was on the train that Lance McCullers Jr. was going to be a little rusty. He ain't rusty.
No, he looked great. I mean, 11 strikeouts in 6 innings. He only had 99 pitches to get through 6.
Oddly enough, he didn't get the win.
Yeah.
He didn't get the win because Seth Martinez came in the game. It was tied at 2-2.
Took the offense too long to get going.
But it took the bats a while to get going for sure, but he looked great. Let's talk Justin Verlander. He is supposedly starting tonight against the Oakland Athletics. Here's Justin Verlander on how he's feeling post-calf injury.
And, the only box I haven't checked is the game box, but I'm hoping that everything that I've done up to this point will put my mind at ease. It's also a lot easier to put your mind at ease when you're out there competing than it is, thinking about your calf. Do I feel anything? What does this feel like? When you go out there and start competing, it's easier to kind of shut that thought process off.
Okay, that's good to hear. And again, we'll see what happens when he comes back.
I trust him and his evaluation of his injuries more than any other Astro, just because he is always very honest about the exact injury in a way that, the Astros probably don't like, because they try to keep injuries so close to the chest.
It's weird, though, that they keep it so close to the chest, vest, whatever, because it's just
vest,
not
chest,
football.
The Casario vest.
If it was football and guys could theoretically target you in specific body parts over the course of a game, because it is pretty bloodthirsty, barbaric sport, I understand that. It's weird that the Astros are so close to the chest vest.
Chest and Casario vest?
Yeah.
I like testicles. Saying the Texans keep things close to the vest
Peach
because
fuzz.
Nick Caserio wears vests and makes me feel funny. But yeah, that's where it's at. Astros, Oakland Athletics should be, that series will continue tonight. Let's talk a little bit of Yankees.
Yankees?
That is something that the Yankees are have been on fire. Aaron Judge is at, I believe, 58 maybe home runs.
I don't even want to keep count. You know what? I'm just going to I'm gonna put an asterisk by it for no reason at
Why
all.
Why is that?
Because screw them. And screw the Yankees, right? You know, that's a fair way. They put an asterisk against the World Series in 2017, so I'm going to put an asterisk against Aaron Judge. Like, doing it on a team that doesn't have the number one seed in the American League.
He has 57 illegitimate home runs.
Illegitimate. Okay, so all Maris's record is 61, right?
Yes.
Roger Maris did it when it was cooler.
Do you think that Aaron like Judge planet? Ever wins yeah. a World Series with yeah. the Yankees? Or is he going to have to go elsewhere? Because the offense, I mean,
he might be gone after this.
I was gonna say, yeah. he might be going elsewhere no matter what. So, yeah. the question is, do they win the World Series this year?
I don't think so. I mean, do you think that these guys are tough? You think that they
tough, smart, dependable, Bill O'Brien?
They bout that life, yeah.
yeah. Magic number for the Astros, I believe, is 6
to win the American League.
To win the American League,
first seed, yes.
First seed,
yeah. And I think they can clinch a playoff spot today. If things go according to plan. So that's nice.
You don't think a game against the Athletics is sexy, but then
no,
you,
I don't. No,
when,
I don't. I have no desire to watch
that
this.
Nugget in,
it's a waste of my time.
When
I
you
mean,
add that nugget in.
I know some people are going to get mad about this. Like, look, I keep it real. I'm always honest. Am I not? I have no interest in a game against the Tigers. I have no interest in a game against the Athletics. I have no interest in either when it's bleeping September. You're sure. going to try to tell and make me watch that game?
You
no.
don't like September
I will watch
baseball?
The highlights. I will read the book. Yeah, September baseball is the worst month of the year. It's bleeping garbage. It's awful. Like, no one cares at this point. Especially when you're watching the Astros. Like, the American League Championship Series is your God-given right. Like, nothing that happens this month matters, other than, like, assuming you're hoping that your guys are going to be hitting well at the end of the year. Like, that's it. Oh, I'm going to watch the A's game. Yeah, all right, congratulations on wasting 3.5 hours of your life on a Friday.
There will be champagne in the locker room, though.
Oh, that's
maybe I
right.
should go. My bad. You know what? I care. I'm going to go. I'm just going
to... They get to celebrate.
I'm going
to
get a credential. I'm just going to, you know, I just want to report on what happens.
Yeah. One of the, like, 4 times that they're going to get to celebrate this year.
Should you... I don't think you should get a champagne celebration for clinching a
playoff
spot.
Do they do champagne when they clinch?
I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah.
I prefer clinching the division. They do a lot of champagne.
There is a lot of champagne, and that
in baseball,
is
more
one
than
of my
any other sport,
favorite memories as a reporter was I moved here in August of 2019, and then champagne for the ALDS, champagne for the ALCS, and I left stinking something bad with the champagne because they also smoke cigars. It's not just champagne.
Ooh.
They break out what do they call them? Stogies?
Yeah.
They break out
Stogies. Wow, look at you.
An Thank aficionado.
You. Are you a Classy. Mormon? Oh, my God. You don't even know what they are. Look, cigars smell good when they're lit, but they smell bad on you. Why is that? What is happening? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. I don't know.
Nicotine addiction. I think that's what's going on.
I love cigars. They're fantastic. They're great.
Okay,
they make
do you guys
stink.
Ever light up some heaters?
Oh, yeah. Give me a couple Six. Of dots, dude. Hey, can you go down to Cumberland Farms and get me some Marlboro Reds? Huh? Why are you laughing? You've never been to Worcester. When I was growing up in Massachusetts, like, I knew some people that smoked, and I also knew some people that would do dip. I'm not the biggest dip fan. I've never done it. I think it's gross. But I know some people do it, and
I've never done dip.
I remember, like, I had two friends who would do this all the time, and they would ask me, hey, yo, dude, got any butts, kid? Which is essentially asking, like, do you have any cigarettes? Yeah, got any butts, kid? And they say kid, but they say it like ked, like K-E-D, ked. So if you ever want to do a Boston accent, just say like Ked and say the F-bomb, but like do it with an A instead. And then boom, you're in.
There you go.
You can blend in Boston.
I'll give you credit. You don't have the annoying Boston accent.
But I can have it.
You can
you know,
have it.
If you've watched The Departed, there's a scene where Mark Wahlberg is giving Leonardo DiCaprio's character a lot of bleep because like he, on the weekends, he's hanging out with people in Southie and he has the fake accent. On the weekends, the impressionable accent, but when he goes up to like the North Shore, the fancy part of Massachusetts, like he's going to speak without an accent. And yes, there's a lot of people in Boston like that, including me. I'm a two-faced SOB.
All right, reporter Paul apparently will have boots on the ground tonight for that 7:10 p.m. first pitch.
Well,
Oakland
hang on.
Athletics.
No, now that I mean, again, I'm thinking about it because now that I realize like there's a chance for alcohol there, I just want to observe it.
Not that Paul would ever drink alcohol when he's covering a game.
No, I would never do that. Unless I wanted to.
which is every time.
Yes. I cannot believe Paul. This is one of Paul and I's longstanding disagreements.
I don't get how it's a disagreement.
You're mad.
So here's what happened.
I'm not mad at anything.
No, you clearly are. You're like indignant about how dare Paul besmirch our honorable profession of covering
sports.
Somebody
would drink on the job.
I'm not drinking a lot on the job.
But when you have a press credential, you're not supposed to drink.
Who says that? Where does it say that?
It's just common sense.
Why is it common sense?
Because you don't drink when you're about to go interview a coach.
She's talking about cigarettes. I could go take a cigarette break in the middle of the game.
Absolutely.
Why can't I drink?
Not saying it's right. I'm just saying
it's you're antiquated.
Not to have
you could go kill yourself outside the stadium ripping a dart. But if you're in the stadium and, God forbid, you go to center field and get yourself an El Tiempo margarita, all of a sudden everyone loses their mind.
Did you feel good in your post-game interview with Dusty? I did.
I felt, you know
looser?
What? I felt a lot looser.
There you go.
You know?
Agreed.
It's just one. It's just one. Come on.
Just one.
No, you're making me feel like I'm an alcoholic.
I absolutely do not think you're an alcoholic.
I'm not.
No.
At all.
I don't think that at all.
I didn't have any wine last night.
No.
I wouldn't do that.
And coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, let's talk a little Chargers Chiefs last night. Plus, what are three things you need to see from the Texans that will make you feel good on Sunday? That's next.
ESPN 97.5.